Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome a very accomplished, well-known author from New Orleans, USA, Michelle Johnston. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Ash. I've really been looking forward to working with your listeners today.
Thank you. Thank you. Michelle is an author of a book titled The Seismic Shift in Leadership, How to Thrive in a New Era of Connection. She's also an executive coach and management professor. But today we're going to speak about Michelle's book. So Michelle, before we get into your book, briefly tell me your own journey.
Yeah, I've been so blessed and fortunate. When I think about what prompted me to write this book, it was that I lifted my head up as a professor. You have to publish or perish. So I'd been, you know, working diligently to earn tenure, and you do all, you know, you jump through all these hoops. Yeah. And I lifted my head up and I wanted to be an executive coach for years. So I became an executive coach and really loving working with all these leaders. And then all of a sudden, three leaders that I was working with in 1 year, I'm watching them get pushed out of their organizations. And I'm trying to figure out why. And I realized because they were subscribing to the old command and control leadership. I was experiencing firsthand this seismic shift that was happening in leadership, that, you know, leading by control and using your power, right? It was just no longer working. And so I went and conducted 18 interviews with global leaders and figured out that what works right now is true, meaningful connection. And I wanted to write a book about it. And so it's been an incredible journey. It now just reached number two yesterday on Amazon in the leadership category. Thank you so much. And here's why, because the message is real coming out of the pandemic. We're all trying to figure out how to attract employees, how to retain them, how to get them engaged, satisfied. The seismic shift, I think, refers to we're not putting up with jerk bosses anymore. We want more from work. We want balanced lives. We want people to see us as full human beings. And that's what this book is about.
Absolutely fascinating. So tell me a few pointers that you have written about on such seismic shifts.
Yes. So the first thing, the reason why I wrote the book was, okay, what I'm seeing is these leaders have lost trust with their people. And you really can't be a leader if your people don't trust you, right? That's what was on the surface. That's what people would say. Oh, okay, they're not a very good leader because they're not connected with their teams.
Yeah.
But when I dug deeper into all of the data, because whenever I begin coaching an executive, I conduct a 360. So I have these rich data books. And I went back to the data books and I realized that the reason why they weren't connected with their teams is because they weren't connected with themselves. And that was the biggest aha moment. These leaders were trying to be somebody that they weren't. And I called the mask of perfection. They were putting on this mask every day, and perfection equals disconnection. And that was a big aha moment. I'm going to say that again for the listeners. Perfection equals disconnection. They were not comfortable enough in their own skin. They were just trying to be what they thought success looked like. And ergo, they didn't have connection with their team. Their team's like, who are you? You're fake. You're inauthentic. And you've created cultures of fear. You're so uncomfortable with yourself that you're leading with control and power and intimidation, creating cultures of fear. Well, you cannot attract, retain, engage any workers in 2022 if you are a leader who makes a culture of fear. You can't do it.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And when you spoke to a lot of leaders, did they also respond and say that there is time to make a change?
That is exactly right. There were many leaders who were quite vulnerable with me. And one of the best quotes right now, he's an NFL, our National Football League head football coach. So he was the NFL coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Seattle Seahawks, UCLA. When I interviewed him, he was on ESPN SportsCenter. And he was hoping to get back into coaching again. And so we went over my theory that it really takes true, meaningful connection, first with yourself, then with your team, then with your organization in order to be successful. And his name is Jim Mora. And I said, Jim, after our first interview, I held up a piece of paper with my theory of connection. I said, do you believe in my theory? He said, Michelle, believe in it? He said, disconnected leaders fail. And I said, that's the quote. That's the quote right there. I said, can you tell me why you said that with such conviction? He said, because I think I lost a couple of my jobs because I had become disconnected. And the second you lose that, with whether it's with your team, whether it's with your organization, he said, I got fired from the Atlanta Falcons because I went on a radio show and talked about wanting to be joking, but wanting to be the coach of the University of Washington. And at the time, I was the coach of the Atlanta Falcons. I lost connection and my sense of of who I was representing. He said, disconnected leaders fail. So yes, a lot of, and another really good question I've had people ask that they say, Michelle, does it mean that the 18 leaders you profile in your book are not the command and control leaders? And I'll say, no, most of us have been there. And I'll be quite candid with your listeners, Ash. I was a command and control leader. And I think that's why this really resonates with me. I didn't come out of the womb like, oh, connection is everything. No, I wanted to be successful. I looked around when I started out as an MBA professor, and I noticed what was successful, and successful was an authoritarian leadership style. So I marched into the classroom and I was an authoritarian leader. And it took me years to realize that I wasn't getting the best faculty evaluations. I was not going to be able to get tenure if I stayed the course because I wasn't connecting with the students.
Well said, well said. And as you just mentioned a few minutes ago, the pandemic has had a very major impact in the way each one of us thinks about our roles and our responsibilities and our priorities. How is leadership adjusting to half the workforce working from home, people coming 2 or 3 days a week? What happens to management by walking around or, sitting and talking at the water cooler or the coffee machine? What happens in organizations and how does leadership handle this?
This is really tough because as human beings, we need social connection to
Correct.
thrive. And all the studies, we don't really know, the research hasn't fully come out as far as the negative effects on humans coming out of the pandemic, but we do know that humans feel disconnected and lonely. And they're telling us through the surveys that they still want to work from home. So right now, so many, at least Americans that I'm seeing in the research are saying, yes, I feel a little disconnected and lonely. However, right now, I'd rather have flexibility and put in my laundry and start dinner and pick up my kids from school more than the other. So what we're in leadership is hard right now. So what we're advocating, because we do need that social connection, is you have to be intentional about it. And so I'll give you an example. Salesforce.com has decided that all of their employees, they still can work from home. And now they have retreat centers where they say once a quarter, we're all going to come together as a team. We are flying you in. We're going to take a couple of days and we're going to collaborate together. I'll give you another example. Kind Bars, Kind Granola Bars. Juan Martin, the global president, is profiled in my book. And I just interviewed him for my podcast recently. I said, what are you doing post-pandemic? And he said, well, he goes, I was so excited to get back in the office. And then we conducted a survey and they said, we really still want to do hybrid. He said, so working from home Mondays and Fridays. He said, so we revamped the entire office, Michelle, so that Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, when they do come into our corporate offices, it is all collaboration. So if you want to work from home Mondays and Fridays, then that's your time to sit behind your computer. But when you come into the office, he said, I don't even have a door. I don't even have an office. It is all about being together and collaborating. And I said, okay, Juan, so that's when people actually come in the office, but you're the global president. How are you connecting on Zoom? He said, and he lifted up his espresso cup and he said, Michelle, I'm a European. He's from Spain. He said, my people know that when we have a one-on-one, the first 10 minutes, we have coffee together and we talk about our summer vacations and our children. That is connection. It's the leaders who just dive in on Zoom, like, okay, what are we going to accomplish? Results, results, results. That's the seismic shift. Is as leaders right now, we have to show that we care about our employees as a full human, a full person, not just what are you doing for me work-wise. That's the shift.
And are you also seeing much, much more empathy in top management as compared to what it used to be?
We have to. One of my leaders is the head of information services. And he said, I'm feeling really, I haven't seen my people in 2 years. He said, I would love to invite them over for a cookout. He said, but I was told by my previous boss before the pandemic that I wasn't allowed to do that because that's personal and I'm supposed to keep everything professional. And I said, those rules do not apply anymore. He said, thank goodness. He said, and I don't want them to feel pressure that the boss says you have to show up on a Friday night if they have Little League. He said, I want to respect them and their family lives. And I also want to know them on a more personal level. I said, well, now's the time.
Very interesting. The other thing, and I'm now talking from my own perspective of having led large companies, but in my time, I mean, mind you, I'm from the baby boomers generation. What happens given the kind of disconnect, and I'm using a strong word, that has started to come in between top leadership and employees? What happens to succession planning? I mean, one of the things that constantly used to plague us was how are we watching and observing people working together? What are the dynamics of interpersonal relationships? And I wonder, how is it being handled in today's environment? I'd love to get your perspective.
Yeah, that's interesting because my client yesterday, he's actually profiled in my book. His name is Pete November, and he's the chief financial officer of the largest employer in the state of Louisiana. And that's our hospital system, Ochsner Health. Yesterday, he was just named the new CEO. So we've been spending lots of time messaging, and he's been giving his presentations as the new CEO. I'm so proud of him. He embodies everything that I talk about in my book. And he was picked to be the successor from inside the organization. And they talked in their presentations in their announcement yesterday how that happened because of going through things like last year around this time, we had a hurricane, a Category 4 hurricane hit New Orleans. And so they were in the hospital living in their offices for a week together. That's how you really get to know one another and your creativity skills and how you handle pressure. So I agree with you. The succession planning, this is tricky because you don't really get to know people as well on in the virtual environment. So again, I'm advocating that if you don't see your people, then please get out and can you rent a conference room and ask the people who can to come in for an in-person meeting. I'm really advocating that if you can, we need to see each other in person because it's totally different, especially for succession planning.
Very interesting. And you have spoken of one or two trends that you have noticed in the changes or the seismic shifts. For my viewers and listeners, what are some of the other significant changes you have seen amongst the 18 people who you have spoken to?
Yeah, so what we're also seeing is people are blowing up meetings. So the command and control leadership style that's no longer effective, also is applicable to how meetings are run. So communication used to be much more transactional in one way. Now it's more informal. And the difference between communication and connection is connection has an energy of reciprocity, right? Connection is two-way. If you feel connected, it's two-way. And so meetings nowadays, people are saying, I don't want to meet every Friday afternoon for 2 hours in this very formal way where I have to prepare a PowerPoint presentation and I'm just there to report. My CEOs that I coach are saying, Michelle, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to have 15-minute huddles 2 or 3 days a week in the morning, and we're going to have coffee together. And I'm going to ask them for an update. And I want to know what I can do to help them, what barriers I need to get out of the way. But the whole formality, that old school formality, that's really going away.
Very interesting. So let me now ask you a few questions on coaching, because you're obviously coaching some very, very senior people. My first question to you, Michelle, is that you're a management professor at a top MBA school. You're an author. You've spoken to such amazing people. My question is, how has your background supported your own coaching philosophy, your style, and your values?
Yeah, I think because I really struggled with connection, I'm much more empathetic with my leaders. So I moved around every 2 years growing up. My dad worked for General Motors, and he was the quintessential loyal corporate citizen, you know? And it never occurred to him to say no. We just kept moving and moving and moving. And so there are two things that came from that. You know, there are pros and cons to everything. The pro was every night over dinner, I was a part of these rich discussions about team, leadership, motivation, corporate culture. And that's what started me on my journey and my interest. The downside was that I was very good at fitting in, but not necessarily good at meaningful, deep connections, right? Because I just kept going and going. So I struggled and stumbled with my authenticity for years because I was just trying to be what I looked around, trying to fit in, and that does not work. So I think that I'm a really good coach because I've stumbled myself. I'm not perfect. And I also realize I know what it takes now through all of my research in order to meaningfully connect. And it takes intentional, deliberate time embedded in your operating rhythm. So I even, some of my leaders are doing, they call it the power hour. They're getting out for an hour. They're trying to each day, they're getting out. And again, I coach a lot of CEOs of hospitals, so this is a different environment. They're getting out and they're rounding. You know, these are corporate leaders who are rounding, spending an hour just trying to connect. Some of them even set up shop in the cafeteria. They tell me as CEOs that they go and they just bring their laptops or bring their iPads. They sit down in the cafeteria just to connect with their people. That's what I mean about it's got to be intentional because these organic things, like you said, are just not happening anymore. It's not as organic as it used to be.
So what I'm hearing you say is when I was much, much younger, aspiration was to get to the corner office. And now the corner office itself has disappeared.
Well said. That is exactly right. I mean, look at Juan Martin. He said, I don't even have an office.
Well,
I want to be
amazing.
with the people. So it is a much more informal way of conducting meetings. So I say if you're not disrupting now, then when are you going to disrupt? And I'm also telling my leaders, everything should be on the table. How you work, who you work with, when you work, how your meetings look, how you treat one another. This is a time to blow everything up because people are craving more informal, more frequent communication. I just interviewed a hospitality executive for my podcast called The Seismic Shift. And he said, Michelle, hospitality industry is known for being high stress and it's not good for the family. He said it's just 24/7. He said, so now what we do, we meet every morning on the phone. You don't have to, you know, video in on a Zoom on the phone for 15 minutes at 8 a.m. every morning. I do that so that my people know when they get off their shift, They do not have to check email or worry about anything because we are going to connect every morning just for 15 minutes at 8 a.m. He said, I want them to know they don't have to be tied. He said, I want them to have personal lives.
Wonderful. And this is something new. I mean, we always used to speak about work-life balance, but I'm seeing it much more in practice now. But Michelle, moving on, this is also the age of the millennium and the millennials and the Gen Z leaders who are getting into positions of influence and power now. Based on all your interactions with so many leaders, what are the areas you believe the younger leaders need to be coached in?
That's a great question because I teach leadership right now on Monday nights with 21-year-olds. They're graduating seniors. And we just had a guest speaker come in. And I do think that sometimes they believe workers right now have more power than they've ever had in the history of work.
Correct.
Workers have never had this much power, and they're being told that. So they actually feel that they can just email me and say, you know what? I'm just not really feeling 100% tonight. I will not be in class, and that's okay. So I struggle with that because we're telling them that work-life balance is important. We're telling them to be aware and take care of themselves and mental health and all of these things. And they're coming out of the pandemic used to being accommodated. And so now I'm worried. They definitely feel like they have this power to just say, I'm not going to show up without understanding the real consequences of that. So I do think there needs to be some coaching on accountability and how you really do just need to show up.
Fascinating. Thank you. I have time for two more questions. My next question for you is on culture. You live in a country which is not only very diverse, but very multicultural. I want to ask you, how does culture impact coaching?
I tell you what, thank goodness, and I live in an incredibly diverse town,
Absolutely.
and I teach at an incredibly diverse university, and I am so grateful for that. That's one of the things that keeps me teaching after all of these years. I go into the classroom, and it's just beautiful. You have to have diversity if you're going to have success anymore. The different perspectives. And again, kind of going back, leadership is hard right now. Not only do you have to embed time to care about your people as full humans, personally and professionally, but you also have to make sure that you're asking for their, you're creating a safe environment where they feel comfortable speaking up because we now know the research so shows that you will be more profitable, you will make better products, you will deliver better customer service if you have diverse teams. That also, though, assumes that you as a leader, that you're not just dictating, that you're saying, what do you all think? I want to hear from you. Let's hear your crazy ideas. Right, you have to create an atmosphere where people want to contribute, and that's when diversity pays off.
Very interesting. And my last question to you, Michelle, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your incredible journey, your own knowledge, your own experiences, your book on leadership, wearing your professor hat, what are the three lessons you would like our viewers and listeners to take away from your journey, your knowledge, and our conversation?
Yes, number one, you have to spend a lot of time reflecting on yourself and your childhood. You have to own your story, how what are some significant life events that have happened? How did you recover? How did you learn? That's that first step in connection with yourself, is really feeling comfortable knowing what are your strengths, what are your blind spots, what are your superpowers, what are your gifts? How can you best show up in the world each day to share these gifts with others? So that to me is connection with yourself. And that takes a lot of time. And again, that was something that I struggled with. I had to figure out, who in the heck am I? I've been trying to be all these different people all these years, and I've got to figure out who I am and what I can bring, what my gifts are to bring to the table. So that's number one. Number two, true meaningful connection with your team. Take time, and it's going to be intentional. So I really strongly recommend looking what I call it your operating rhythm, which is your communication rhythm, your calendar. Look at your schedule every week and make sure that it aligns with your top priorities. And you need to embed that time to get to know your people. Number three is that connection with the organization. And that also has to do with owning your calendar, right? It's making sure who are your most important stakeholders that will help you with your success and what are your most important priorities and aligning. My guest speaker on Monday night told the students, she said, Mondays, I try not to have any meetings. They're planning days, planning days. She said Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, meetings. She said Friday afternoons, I embed and block off time just for appreciation and gratitude. She's got 600 people below her. She said, so every Friday I end my day from 2 until 5 with, I write thank you letters and I send emails and text messages showing appreciation to my 600 people. I mean, that's what I mean about intentional connection, right? Really looking at your calendar and figuring out how to do that.
Fantastic. Michelle, on that note, and your three amazing lessons, reflect on yourself, on your own story, have meaningful connections, which must be intentional. And the number three one is, connect with the organization, understand the needs of your stakeholders, which includes everybody who has got a stake in your organization. Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about your book, you're the author of a book titled The Seismic Shift in Leadership, How to Thrive in a New Era of Connection. I'm asking all my viewers and listeners to go and check out Michelle's book on Amazon. I will go and check it out myself. Thank you also for telling me about your journey and some of your incredible lessons on leadership. Finally, thank you for speaking to me and good luck to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to all the listeners who tuned in today. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.